We hear today in our first reading of Solomon's request for wisdom. But one of the only stories that we have of what this wisdom looks like is a time when two women came to him with an infant, and both women were claiming to be the mother, each claiming that the other had stolen the child in the middle of the night. So Solomon ordered a sword to be brought in, and the child to be cut in half, and then each mother would get half of the child. And one of the women then said, "Oh no, my lord, give the living child to the other woman, but please do not put him to death." And with that, Solomon knew who the real mother was. Our readings today, they speak of wisdom. What is wisdom? Thomas Aquinas says that wisdom is the knowledge of the highest thing in any grouping, and when we know that central idea, everything else underneath it makes sense. And so Solomon was wise because he knew the nature of things. For instance, he knew the nature of a mother's love. In our day today, a person is wise in marketing and advertising if she knows human psychology, human desire. She knows the visual arts, how to make something pop in an advertisement. She knows what markets are ripe for expansion. An educator is wise if he can perceive quickly which students are picking things up right away, which need more one-on-one help, and how to adjust the curriculum on the spot to be able to meet the needs of those kids. How to break things down so that everyone can understand. But the wisdom that we hear today is of a different level. It's not one of these simple types of worldly wisdom, but it's wisdom in general. Aquinas says that the Holy Spirit's gift of wisdom is to know God and his divine plan. And when we know God, we're able to order everything according to the divine rules. We're able to see all things in its light. Or, in the words of our gospel today, to be wise is to be that good head of a household, bringing out the new and the old, which the church fathers said were the Old Testament and the New Testament. How to use those truths that God has revealed to make sense of every situation, including the situation we find ourselves in today. One danger, though, with wisdom, is making our will be God's will, and our thoughts be God's thoughts. Father Walter Chizik was a missionary in Soviet Russia. He had to do his ministry in hiding, and he did not last very long. He was quickly found out, he was arrested, he spent 5 years in solitary confinement and underwent long periods of interrogation by the Soviet secret police. But throughout this experience, he made this realization of how he was so certain that his will must be God's will. And through this time, that was really purified. He said, "Gradually, I learned to purify my prayer and remove from it the elements of self-seeking. I learned to pray for my interrogators, not so that they would see things my way or come to the truth so that my ordeal would end, but to pray for them simply because they too were children of God and human beings in need of his blessings and his daily grace." This temptation to think that our thoughts must be God's thoughts, our will must be God's will, is still really prevalent today. And right now, in our current situation, what it looks like is judging things not according to God's plan, but according to our own politics. by subtly, unintentionally, but by subtly placing our politics before God, our country has gone down the road of increasing partisanship, which the partisanship leads to seeing others as a group and not as individuals. And it leads to anger. And from there, it's a short jump to hatred. I'm not saying that any one political position is right or wrong in this. And I'm not saying that we should not be involved in politics and in the governance of our country. I'm saying, what is our guiding principle that helps us judge what's going on around us? Is it our opinions? Or is it our union with God? Just because division and hatred exist does not mean that we can respond in kind. I've known hatred. I've looked into someone's eyes and seen in that the conviction, the complete conviction that the world would be a better place if I was not in it. It was cold. It was angry. But that person's hatred for me did not give me a right to hate that person in return. Our Lord was most hated on the cross. And what was his response? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That is our model for judging things according to the divine plan, especially in our day right now. St. James says in his letter that wisdom from above, the wisdom that helps us judge things rightly according to God's plan, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. So when we're examining, God, am I judging things according to your will, or am I judging things according to my will? We can ask ourselves, based on this, are my judgments leading to peace? Am I carrying them out with gentleness? Just questions to reflect on. Now, how can we grow in wisdom? Doesn't it seem a bit bold that we can say, yeah, I know God's plan? If wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, which we receive in our confirmation, that means that all of us have this wisdom to some extent already, just because we've been confirmed. And then we can take that, and we can grow it, and we can expand it by spending time with God. You who have been married for a long time, you've experienced this in your own relationship. By spending so much time with each other, you know how each other thinks. And it's similar with our relationship with God. St. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says, "Let the word of Christ, rich as it is, dwell in you. In wisdom made perfect, instruct and admonish one another." So we grow in our wisdom by letting the word of Christ dwell in us, by spending time in prayer, by reading the scriptures. And the closer we get to God, just the greater sense that we have of what comes from him, what comes from me, and what comes from the world. Well, certainly there are great helps to understanding the scriptures. You've got different Bible studies. We've got them on the Formed website. Wisdom is not the same thing as technical knowledge. And this is what our psalm was talking about today, when it says, "The revelation of your words sheds light, giving understanding to the simple." We don't have to have a lot of technical knowledge about the scriptures to be able to understand, to grow closer to God just by reading them. It's not uncommon for a priest or a deacon to preach at Mass and then afterwards be confronted by someone who said, Father, something there just, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't right. You know, this woman who comes up to say, no, something was wrong. She's been steeped in prayer. She may not be able to say exactly what was wrong, but through her closeness to God, she just has a sense something was off there. Finally, we grow, not just in spending time with the Word, but by spending time with wisdom incarnate, with Christ our Lord, here in the Eucharist that we receive on the Psalter, in prayer in the Adoration Chapel, gazing upon him face to face. And by being guided in our prayer by our Blessed Mother, who pondered all of the things of God continuously in her heart. And so we pray, may Mary, seed of wisdom, be a sure haven for all who search for wisdom. May their journey into wisdom, the sure and final goal of all true knowing, be freed of every hindrance by the intercession of the one who, in giving birth to the truth and treasuring it in her heart, has shared it forever with all the world. Amen.